Retired U.S. Coast Guard Admiral Kerry Thomas was in Honolulu this past week. We talked with her on Friday, which marked International Women's Day, notable because of the strides women have made and because we have so much further to go. Our conversation about women in the military came during a week when Congress heard of a sex assault from one of its members. Senator Martha McSally was a combat fighter pilot and shared a story about being raped by an Air Force superior officer. Admiral Kerry Thomas shared that it is largely through Congress's action that women have been more accepted in leadership roles in our armed forces. Thomas spoke with us as she looked out at the view from Diamond Head. She used to live at the lighthouse as head of District 14, covering the Pacific as far out as Singapore and Japan. She regards that time as the pinnacle of her military career.
It really came about as a result of several things. Access, that is, you know, the law is changing, the Supreme Court cases that allowed for, you know, all women to be able to serve in all parts of the military. You had opportunities where you had men who had never worked with women before who would just give them a chance to learn and to grow and to make mistakes and still keep going up the ladder, getting some education, getting some training along the way, and then, of course, some leadership opportunities. And so as I reflect on my time here in the Pacific, one of the things that I was so privileged to be able to do was to travel around, you know, all through Micronesia and with some of the other international players in the region, from Japan to Guam to American Samoa to France and New Zealand and all. And everyone relies on each other. And it was just such a great opportunity to travel to Papua New Guinea and to in an international women's forum that the U.S. Embassy hosted there, to watch women leaders from the individual villages come together and to learn from one another, to try and make their country better, truly was the pinnacle sort of my career.
Now, well, recently, Senator Martha McSally dropped a bombshell this past week talking about her time in the military and a sexual assault.
Yeah, my heart aches for her and for all women that have been victims of assault and harassment. I would tell you that I am a member of Me Too as well. And while my assault was not nearly as egregious as others were, it was not an easy time growing up in the military for women. But, you know, it was just part of what I would do to try and make it better. And while it hurts me now that women are still, you know, maybe not working quite on an equal playing field with regards to how people feel about them in the military, all senior leaders that I know are completely committed to a full integration and setting the right command climate for women. And there are some amazing leaders that are still, you know, in the military trying to do their very, very best to allow for women to be able to serve and just come to work and be the best member of the military that they can be. You know, I watched a little bit of congressional testimony, and, you know, it really hurt me to see that, you know, here was an 04 in the Navy and an Army, I think she'd been a captain or a lieutenant, who had been assaulted, you know, in just the last few years. Now, I often said that for me, it took me about a full 10 years to find the courage to speak up about when I didn't like something. And the first time I remember doing it, I was a lieutenant. I'd been in the Coast Guard probably about 6 or 7 years at this point as a commissioned officer, and was walking on a Navy base, not in uniform, and somebody whistled at me. And I just had enough at that point. And so I got his name, went back, talked to my boss. We went, you know, to see him and his boss. You know, he apologized and just tried to put it aside. There was another time when I was at the Navy War College up in Newport, Rhode Island, where they were having a Muslim event at the commander's house from a country that exercised the Muslim faith. And in that faith, women were not, you know, really a part of their leadership structure. And so the commander made a decision not to have any women invited to that event that night. And that frosted me pretty much, because while I understand wanting to adhere to cultural norms and try and respect them, part of what we do as Americans in international leadership positions is exercise what it is that our value systems are and to display those so that they can learn from us. And I had many experiences at the APCSS, you know, downtown Honolulu with many international colleagues in which heads of navies that were just beginning to integrate women into their service would ask me, well, what's it like if I have to have women? And what if they cry? And it was just an interesting time and an interesting perspective. You know, all I can say is today that humans are imperfect. The military still needs to keep working this issue, and that part of our desire at Dakowitz that we look at the widest spectrum of issues that are affecting women in the military so that it's better than it was last year and the year before and the year before that.
Right, so that exclusion shouldn't happen.
Right, yeah.
So any advice that you would give to your daughter or any young upcoming member of our military services?
Yeah, I would encourage them to find a way to feel comfortable speaking up. And I know it is something that my daughter has no issues. If she has a problem with something and someone, she's never been afraid to just call it out, deal with it, and move on. Not everybody's quite that way. One of the things I encourage people is to look out for your neighbor, because while they may not feel comfortable speaking out, that their neighbor may not, they could help speak out on their behalf and to try and see things from their point of view. So part of my advice is to, you know, speak up, and if you don't feel comfortable, find somebody to confide in who can then help give you the courage to do better and to report or to at least walk through an issue. Sometimes you view things just through the fact that you're young and naive, and I remember getting in trouble when I was a young cadet at the Coast Guard Academy thinking I was getting picked on because I was a woman. And it had really nothing to do with the fact that it was a woman. It was the fact that I was just being a pretty crummy cadet and having people help me see things is always helpful. So getting good mentors, getting good confidants is an important part of, you know, maturing your way through an organization.
Now, you're with the Coast Guard Mutual Assistance these days, and you still have a hand in helping your service members.
So we're a 501c3 charity. There are military aid societies for all of the branches of the military. So Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, Army Emergency Relief, and Air Force Aid Society, and Coast Guard Mutual Assistance. And so we're all congressionally recognized, and our mission is to provide financial help to members of the military. So when I took this job about a year ago, you know, knew that we would provide people when there was, you know, storms like Hurricane Lane that came through. But we never predicted that members of the military in the United States Coast Guard would not be paid. And so it was a great privilege to be able to help over 6,000 members of the military with over $8 million in assistance during the government shutdown.
Want to share, just reflecting on your time out here in the Pacific and our ability as a community to be prepared, whether it's a natural disaster or something man-made, you know, some other threat?
Well, certainly, you know, much of the infrastructure in many of these islands is right at the sea level. And you can have a few hours preparation for a tsunami, but were one to happen, it would be very, very difficult for much of the infrastructure to quickly recover as a result of that. And so as individuals, you know, it's important to just have some, you know, supplies at home, whether it's just some food, you know, great cans of Spam and rice that's sitting there that can help you through, having flashlights, having batteries, because you don't know what Mother Earth may provide. And while I wanted to be a marine biologist from the very beginning and be about the ocean. And while I love the ocean, it is a very powerful, powerful thing of nature. Mother Earth often decides that, you know, things need to be restored in ways that we don't understand. So, you know, being prepared the best that you can as a family for any kind of, you know, circumstance, whether it's a tsunami or it's a hurricane that comes by, you know, is an important part of being ready as a community member.
That was retired Coast Guard Admiral Carrie Thomas reflecting on her time in the military. She's now based in the D.C. area, serving as executive director of the nonprofit group Coast Guard Mutual Assistance.